Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Welcome to Fightful. It's June 26, 2025. I am at Joel Pearl, and welcome to your TNA Impact post-show. I don't know what I was trying to say at the top of the show because I suddenly froze. Not on the screen, but I froze in my brain as to what I was supposed to say. But hi, here we are. We're back again. It's a Thursday night, so clearly we're here to talk Impact. Not Collision. Collision's over somewhere else. They're doing that show, but we are here. Cresta and I are here. You know why we're here, but you don't know who we are. Well, you do, because I just mentioned who we are. And of course, here with me as always, ready to party like it's 1999, is the one and only Cresta Starr. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing groovy. I want to dress up just a touch, let you guys know that I'm a professional. A professional what? I don't know. Let me address the Cresta betrayed us allegations really quickly. I will always cover TNA first, because every time I've covered AEW, I got jobbed. So I will always cover TNA. And it's Thursday night. This is their territory. Go somewhere else, Tony Khan.
Yeah, it's so much their territory that TNA decided to run on YouTube tonight.
Listen, I mean, MLW, their main event is on YouTube right now, so.
MLW's whole show is on YouTube. They do that for all their big shows.
Well, then, you know, YouTube, hey, the best wrestling free market.
On top of that, I mean, there was a lot of wrestling on. You mentioned MLW's running their show right now. Impact was tonight, as it always is. And then you got AEW Collision tonight. It was taped last night, but it was airing tonight. So people were pretty wrestling filled tonight. What that means for us, who knows? You'll get around to watching it. This was a really fine show, though. And before we get into it, how about you leave a thumbs up on this video, because the algorithm, it don't like us very much, but I like you guys and y'all like us. I hope that's why you're here. You're not going to come to our concert just to boo us. So leave a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. You can donate a super chat, any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. And if you go over to Humper Chats, Crest is going to tell you the whole shebang about that.
If you head over to Humper Chats, it's just like a super chat, but more humpier. You can leave your comment in the comment box, your donation in the donation box, and we get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. We're all happy here at humperchats.com, so go ahead and leave us a humper, pal.
Get on humping. I mean, you know what? I'll stay with it.
TNA talking about humping on brand.
Yeah, it is. I mean, at least we can get kicked off Twitch because of it. That's a TNA staple.
I mean, on brand.
If you're going to leave us a Humper Chat tonight, just put TNA at the front of it so that it doesn't get confused with the AEW Collision show that's going on at the same time. And that way, you know, Rick and Iridian don't look at it and say, huh, why are they talking about, I don't know, Mike Santana on this show? And be like, well, because they're not. They're talking to us, not you. You can talk about the Kyles all you want. Go enjoy the Kyles, I guess. Is there any
fight of the Kyles?
Yeah, the flight of the Kyles, more like, huh?
I don't know. I've never seen that show.
Neither have I. I'm just anyway. We're on the road to Slammiversary. We are less than 1 month away. It is getting closer to the 20th of July, and we're heading to UBS tonight. And for the next 4 weeks, it's the tapings from Pittsburgh. I thought that for the first set of these tapings, they were really, really solid stuff. I enjoyed tonight's episode. There was a lot to dig into, and the Slammiversary build begins now. What did you think overall of tonight's show?
I was quite sports entertained. Maybe it was something in the air. I just thoroughly enjoyed the show. If anything, this got me more excited for Slammiversary. And I don't know, Joel, it might be my first TNA show. I think this is a good show to go to. I'm really excited about this. And then with the addition, or just the thought of having, it's probably a triple threat in the main event for Joe Hendry, the TNA world title with Trick Williams and Mike Santana. That's brilliant. That's fantastic. And I kind of live for it. I'm really excited. Tonight was a good episode, in my opinion.
Announced on Friday night during the tapings, because TNA did something new. They introduced their new free tier to TNA Plus, and they decided to give what was a sneak peek of TNA Impact for this coming week, for what was tonight's show. I found out that I couldn't watch it, Cresta. I was trying to log on every time they posted the link, and I have TNA Plus, and I have a paid tier. And every time I tried to get in, it kept telling me it couldn't, and it couldn't get me in. So I asked what was going on. I asked people online, and they were like, mm-hmm. No problems here. Now, here was the problem. Everyone I asked was from the non-country of Canada.
I was going to say, I feel like this is a Canadian problem.
Canada got geo-blocked from viewing the TNA Plus event because it's a taping for the television show. And Rogers, who owns Sportsnet, who do the television broadcasting rights for TNA, said, ain't no way. Can't do it. It's 2 weeks until Canadians see any TNA Impact programming on TNA Plus, because they want you to watch it on Rogers Sportsnet, which is how I have to watch it now anyway. So even tonight, I couldn't, unless I used a VPN, I couldn't do the YouTube visual. I couldn't watch it on YouTube unless I flipped on my VPN.
They're always trying to keep a good Canadian down. This is ridiculous.
So the point I was trying to make, on that Friday when they did the preview, they did announce that Joe Hendry had enacted his rematch clause, and it's going to be Joe Hendry versus Trick Williams for the TNA World Championship at Slammiversary. By the end of the night, Mike Santana had tossed his name in the hat as well. Yeah, it feels like a triple threat's coming our way. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I am not the biggest fan of this. However, circumstances may have changed to create this a triple threat. The injury report this week included Elijah. Now, Fightful Select had reported, and something that I think people should know is that Brian Alvarez was one of the first people to catch wind of this during the match that Elijah had at NXT. It looked like he had gotten injured and no one was reporting on it. Well, it's official. Elijah did injure his triceps. He did have successful surgery. He's out indefinitely. It's going to be a little while. If you're familiar with triceps injuries, C1Punk_CM, the recovery time's long enough, so he won't be at Slammiversary. Now, I have a theory. Can't back it up just yet. Mm-hmm. A theory that we were going towards Elijah and Hendry in some sort of specialty match. Maybe not. Maybe I'm going to be told this was always the plan, was the triple threat. If it was, Cresta, I can tell you, I have no idea why a triple threat was needed for this match, for this main event.
I mean, I could see it. Everyone, Joe Hendry's still insanely over on NXT or TNA. People are still chanting his name super duper loud. I could see it. And for someone like me personally, I think Joe Hendry is at least owed this. Give him at least that. Even if he takes the pin and it goes to Santana. I think Santana winning here is the correct result, no matter how you slice it. But a triple threat between these three, I like it. I think it helps everyone involved. Whether you like him or not, Joe Hendry has a star power to him that the other two guys quite just don't have yet. They're almost there, but they quite just don't have that virality star it factor. Joe Hendry is also being, well, not accused, but like, he doesn't really wrestle seriously. He needs a serious opponent. At this point, it don't get no more serious than Mike Santana. What's funny? I'm here to wrestle. What's funny? That with Trick Williams, I think if anyone is lacking in any area, each guy can cover it up for each person. I think it's a great idea. You get your three best guys on your card. You've got your champion, the guy who's super duper over, and your next up, like he said, I think he said tonight, I am the standard of TNA. You get your standard, and then you put the title on him, as it should be. As it should be, and you give us a cracker of a run back between you and Ali.
I'm of the belief that a triple threat is put in place to preserve one person, the person who doesn't take the pinfall loss or submission loss. The person who doesn't get pinned or submitted then tries to stake a claim as to why they should get a title shot. In this case, Trick is going to potentially either beat two TNA guys to retain the title. It's not what I expect, but it is something. The narrative becomes he either beats two of the top TNA guys to retain, or he loses the title to one of those two, and it took two TNA guys to beat the one NXT guy. I know I can see these narratives already forming in some people's heads. They're bad faith, but they will exist. And the third one is you could have done Trick and Joe Hendry at Great American Bash for the NXT show. And I think that would have been great. Instead, you're going to do the potential triple threat. Hopefully Santana wins. Hopefully Santana pins Trick and we just put that to rest. It should have just been one-on-one. It should have just been Trick, Santana, one more time, put it to rest.
I'm going to agree to disagree here, but I'm also a Joe Hendry stan. I think this is money. Hey, I hate to quote AJ Francis tonight, who's somebody who got under my skin, complimentary. That's money, money, money.
Hendry did start the night. He came out, gave a promo. Basically says he's a big old loser and then says the world title belongs. He did. He admitted to losing. He's a big old loser. He says the world title belongs to TNA and the fans. He goes over his accolades as champ, says he makes history, but he's pointing out all the times he didn't put the title on the line, but took the title out of the case to bring it to these events that he went to. And it wasn't lost on me, Joe. Don't you worry. And he said, you know, you were there for my ascension. Now you got to be there for my redemption. I'm like, that's cute. It's better than, you know, I've got to complete my mission, which got a lot of us talking when it started. He gave that one up quickly. But this one, sure, it was a lineup. It was a good promo. It was passionate. He wants to go after Trick again. Again, it's really hard to look at Joe Hendry versus Trick Williams and not think that Joe is putting more effort in because of who his opponent is and where his opponent works. And he's kind of done that again here.
Maybe I'm a stan because I didn't. As I was looking at my paper, like, did we look at the same promo? Maybe it's me. But this promo, I hate to say it, sounded more like I'm going to do my best, but I know Joe Hendry about to lose. I feel like this was a send-off promo, and I don't like that. Like the send-off to the send-off. You know what I mean? This is the, listen, guys, we're going to do this one more time. We're going to get back in the saddle. And I think absolutely I do think that it is Joe Hendry being, it's a good idea to put him in the main event. It just sucks that you got to lose. I mean, he is a big old loser. I hate that you said that. He is a big old loser. He's my loser though.
Sure. He's a big old loser and he makes you happy.
Yo, don't do that.
How's the sense of super chat saying money's for the best wrestling show on Thursdays? Well, thank you very much. We are, and we appreciate you. Also pointing out that MJF actually showed up at MLW tonight. So, Cresta, you screwed up. Could have gone down the street.
Close.
You live next door to the venue. You basically live on top of the venue. You are in the venue right now.
It's hot in there. It's hot in here. But the difference between me in the venue and me here is I'm sitting down. I don't want to stand and be hot.
Have you ever seen wrestling at the Melrose Ballroom?
Yes, for a hot second. Every time they come around here, I have a show. I think the last time they did, I had a collision show. And it looked so cute. It looked really nice. I went upstairs. I would want to go see wrestling there. But I got to find out more before the hour of. You know what I mean?
Fair. I enjoyed watching that. But yeah, MJF showed up tonight at the MLW Summer of the Beast show. He's very, very clearly going after Místico. So...
Bro, if anything, I'm upset that I didn't get to see Kenta or Kushida live. Because Kenta, every picture, he just looks angrier and angrier. At one point, he's just going to disappear from anger. And I want to see it before he goes.
You can make it before the main event.
Guys, it's been a nice sign up.
I'll just go solo. It's fine.
I'm not paying $30 for stand. I will pay $0 for sit.
Fair. Although this deep in the show, they might just let you in. Anyway, let's just keep going. Killer Kelly cuts a promo, says MK Ultra was a chain. Next week, she's going to show Masha who the real monster is. And she looks forward, if she wins the title, to knowing who the challenger is, because the battle royal is tonight. Now, I'll fast forward. Masha Slamovich is with Gia Miller afterwards and says she thrives under pressure regardless of the challenger. And then she makes a chain match challenge. So next week's Knockouts title match between Masha Slamovich and Killer Kelly is going to be a chain match, which I'm looking forward to. Here it's very good. And then Ariana Grace comes in and she's very excited and she says she's got something major in the works, but she can't say it yet. So you can assume it's TNA and NXT related. We'll find out later what it is when we talk about it. But what did you think of these two segments with Masha and Killer Kelly respectively?
First and foremost, Killer Kelly's makeup was superb. I love that glitter in the corner of the eye. I don't know where you got it from, girl, or who did your makeup, but they did their big one there. Secondly, a chain match. Besides me being sports disgusted, because you know I'm soft. We're so back, baby. We're so back. I support women's wrongs. And these two are going to kill each other. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich back again. Again, this is me. Blech. But it's also, I'm peeking. I'm looking between me covering my eyes from the blood. It's going to be good.
And that this, they've done it before. This is what brought them together was the chain match. So I like that they're potentially knocking this out. No pun intended, with another chain match to kind of, you know, even out their feud.
Yeah. And even if, like, whenever Masha does eventually drop it, there's a tag team baked in right then and there. I kind of wish them versus Spitfire would have been a thing, but yeah, you know, it is what it is.
There'll be another time. I'm sure somewhere down the line, they'll just put everyone back together. The Knockouts tag title division will come and flourish again.
True.
I don't know when. Ryan Nemeth is defeated by Zachary Wentz from the Rascals at Slammiversary. They did it. Cresta, I told you they would. It's a four-way tag team ladder match. This was largely expected. The Nemeths basically, you know, trolled the Hardys going into Under Siege. I had to remember which show that was. They trolled them going in Under Siege about doing a ladder match, so you did have to do it. Now it's going to be the Nemeth, the Rascals, the Hardys, and First Class in a ladder match at Slammiversary. Surprisingly, no NXT involvement. Kind of surprising, only because NXT, but also their tag division's not super duper loaded. Not much to say here. Ryan Nemeth goes to grab title belts. Daniel Spencer, the referee, gets it back because he wasn't blinded by some shiny object like a title belt. Wentz hits a spiral tap, gets the pin, and then the Nemeth tees a face off with the Rascals but walk away. What were your thoughts on this match? Because to me, it was just kind of standard one-on-one.
Yeah, I have to give a shout out to the standing shooting star from Ryan onto Wentz. I'll give credit where credit is due. He looked pretty good this match. Also, unfortunately for him, Joe Hendry cursed him. Because every time I see him wrestle, all I could think of is, he's Nick Nemeth's brother. The end.
It's true. One could say that was one of Joe Hendry's best.
I mean, some of his best stuff is not on TNA, bro. When he cooked Scotty Tuhati, I laughed. I guffawed even.
This was a match that existed. It was fine. Yeah. Again, it's all in service of that four-way tag team ladder match. I'm sure they'll do other matches between the four teams that get us closer to Slammiversary. So we'll be there for it. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Gia Miller is with Trick Williams. And event, he basically just says he'll make Joe believe it's Slammiversary and puts over AJ Francis tonight, going up against Santana in that street fight main event. I don't know if you have anything to add about it. It's Trick Williams. He wants to talk about it, but then he never does.
Let's talk about it, and I'm going to walk off camera.
Every sentence ends with "Let's talk about it." Well, you've already talked about it. That's basically how the promos go. I'm just saying. Let's talk about it. And then we just proceed not to talk about it.
Talk about something else.
The Knockouts Battle Royal. Ash by Elegance wins. The field is Alicia Edwards, Danny Luna, Harley Hudson, Indy Hartwell, Jada Stone, Jody Threat, Katie Arquette, Layne Lee, Mila Moore, Myla Grace. Rosemary, Tasha Steeles, Tessa Blanchard, Victoria Crawford, and Zaya Brookside. Congratulations, by the way, to Jada Stone and Mila Moore. They are the recent signings. They got picked up at the last tapings in Pittsburgh. It's a very, very big opportunity for both those women, so it's good stuff. The elegances and the inspiration are seemingly eliminated first, but towards the end of this, it actually turns out that Ash by Elegance went under the ropes, so she comes back and she eliminates Indy Hartwell and Tessa Blanchard, as they are the final two participants and they are fighting on the ring apron. But really, that the biggest part of this is Masha Slamovich comes out, and then NXT Women's Champion JC Jane interrupts, and they do kind of a one by one entrance and then exit type of thing. So clearly Ash by Elegance is not getting a Slammiversary tag team title shot, or Ash by Elegance is not getting a Knockouts World Championship spot at Slammiversary. Certainly feels like JC Jane and Masha Slamovich are potentially heading for something at Slammiversary. Your thoughts on literally this whole Knockouts mishmash?
I started my notes when they did the entrance for Lady Yi. Okay, Lady Yi. They cut to commercial and come back. That ring was so full of people. I said, we just gonna write down who eliminated who and call that a day. Not as dramatic. But remember when people were like, we're sick of Cena, so we want anyone. And then The Miz won and you were like, yo, chill. I had that moment. Because I thought Tessa was going to eliminate Indy. And I was like, nah, chill. Don't do that. And then Ash came out and I was like, I mean, I guess, but somebody got to take the pin. If there's a triple threat, somebody got to take the pin. And also, too, you win some, you lose some, and then you win again. Because this will, my glasses keep looking like somebody slapped me and it was like wind touch. What I was saying was, at the end of the day, they're also going to get a tag title shot out of this. Because of what happened at the beginning, you say the inspiration took you out because they weren't minding their business, and Ash by Elegance took out this. That's what that's going to happen. You two are going to have that match, which honestly, you should have, because the Iconics, the inspiration, hate them or love them, but these girls were out here doing tag team stuff before people were doing tag team stuff, for real, for real.
I see someone in the chat saying JC drops the NXT Women's Championship at Evolution, which is July 12th, 13th, 12th, 13th. It's the 13th, whatever the afternoon of All In Texas is. Or the next day. Listen, it's late. I'm done. It's that weekend. Okay. Evolution is before Slammiversary, and then challenges Masha for the Knockouts Championship. I don't think JC Jane is dropping the NXT Women's Championship before Slammiversary. I think it's going to be, but if they're going to do these two, it's going to be champion versus champion.
You know, I kind of thought that, from what I know of NXT, and I haven't really been watching, let me be clear, I thought that it's going to be JC Jane versus Jordynne Grace at Evolution 2. And I would assume you would put the title on Grace at Evolution 2.
Why?
Because she's Jordynne Grace, but also I'm a stan. And sometimes being a stan clouds my judgment. So I'm like, why not? What do you mean why? She got the look. She's tough, like, out of what I've seen, but I also don't watch NXT, so I don't know what the landscape is. So I can say this is a very ignorant take.
It is JC Jane's first official title defense at Evolution since winning the title. Jordynne Grace is strong. She can lose. And the first interaction with JC was against Blake Monroe, the former Mariah May. The story is Mariah May takes the title from JC Jane, who is the mean girl, and Blake Monroe. I am going to get used to the name, I promise. Blake Monroe gets the title from that team, from Fatal Attraction, and effectively breaks them up in some way, shape, or form afterwards. Jordynne's great, but she doesn't necessarily need to be a NXT Women's Champion to show that. She can have a statement match on a PLE, and people will absolutely go for it. And JC Jane has two other people that can help her cheat to win. So Blake Monroe is the person in my eyes who's going to win that title down the line.
I will accept this.
And I think people need to give a little bit more respect to JC Jane. I think she's a lot more talented than people give her credit for. And that's not me saying that you're not, because I know that you are, Cresta. You're not sitting here talking stuff about JC Jane. I understand that in the women's division of NXT, there are wrestlers who have been around longer or maybe have had more accolades behind them. JC is someone who has been silently a very deep part of the NXT women's roster and deserves the opportunity. So this is a bit of a pat on the back and a thank you. But again, if it ends with Blake Monroe taking that NXT women's title, it makes sense to me. But that, to me, that's the story. Took her out during the contract signing, first interactions. Jordan's just a great match to have. I don't think she's winning at Evolution. And I would then go on and do JC Jane and Masha, whether that's champion versus champion or winner takes all or whatever it is. That's where I would do it. And it's not a bad match to have. Masha would need a couple friends to take care of the rest of Fatal Attraction, but it would be a fun match to do at Slammiversary.
Okay. Like I said, I don't really watch NXT like that. So I'm open to thoughts, opinions, comments, questions. You know what I mean? So That sounds sound. Also, I saw someone say TNA repping at Evolution should happen. Well, I agree. It's still a WWE show. So...
yeah, that's the thing. It's not an NXT show. If TNA wanted to do something at Great American Bash the night before, then they would.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's really in the cards. The Slammiversary is coming up. That is their big show. It's more likely that NXT is going to be involved at Slammiversary than it is them crossing over and doing more stuff through Great American Bash and Evolution, or yeah, and Evolution, things like that.
I think it would show a sign of goodwill, but they're already pretty solid with their partnership with TNA right now. Any more goodwill would be like, I'm not doing it for free. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think I am, Santa Claus?
By the way, standout moment from the commentary, Tom Hannafin mentioning Matt Raywall coming out twice at WrestleMania 34, once with and then once without hair. And then asking, how do you do that? And he says, hair clippers, Tom.
I missed that part of Ray Walt's lore.
That was when he was Aiden English, and at WrestleMania 34 he does the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I call it the armbar. You can look up why it explains in the internet. He comes out in the armbar. He's got his hair and he gets tossed out. He goes to the back. Later on, Rusev has a match. Aiden English was the person who accompanied Rusev to the ring and said Rusev Day. He came out and suddenly he was bald and he did an introduction for Rusev Day. And people were like, what the hell happened to Aiden English?
Sometimes you take a loss.
Take an L and then you shave your head. And honestly, looks better with the shaved head.
Rusev Day.
Yeah, I wouldn't do the singing. Anyway, Jake Something is in the back. Says he was forgotten. Nobody was checking in on him, but one guy did, and that was Tommy Dreamer. That's very sweet. He says, you know, Dreamer is who he is. He wants the international championship. He puts Steve Macklin on notice. Macklin comes up and says, good to see you back. Good luck to you. So.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
That's something that I'm looking forward to. Jake Something has been on everyone's radar for the last little bit. It's nice to see him back. Mance Warner have a match next week on TNA. I wouldn't be surprised if this all becomes a triple threat, but I don't hate it because Mance Warner, Jake Something, and Steve Macklin are fantastic talents.
I love when big, beefy men do men's wrongs as well. Also, he said, last week I sent you a message. Next week, I'm going to send you to the hospital. I don't know, man, Swan. I wouldn't let that slide. I would not let that slide. That was like, hey, yo, these are fighting words. And honestly, I can't wait. Just chill in the blood. I'm soft, but I can't wait.
These men will all bleed and fight each other until they need to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A call to arms match. Cresta, did you understand what this was supposed to be when we introduced the call to arms match?
What I mainly understood is, damn it, Joel Pearl was right again. He said, watch it be somebody's arm tied behind their back. And sure enough, you can't keep getting away with this, Joel Pearl.
Okay? It was so obvious. I don't know what people expected. The call to arms match had three simple rules. One arm is tied to the ropes. Whoever gets untied first has the advantage, and it's a pin or submission for the victory. Now, when I saw one arm is tied to the ropes and whoever gets untied has first advantage, I'm like, oh, there's going to be some chicanery. And that's exactly what happens. Ali and Skylar get tied up by their respective people at the rope. And then Ali just pulls out a pair of scissors and just snips and says, well, that's that. And then he beats up John Skylar. I really liked this opening part of the match, Cresta, because they did something that most wrestlers don't do, and that is literally do spots from the corner the entire time. And Ali's finding good ways to fly around while Skylar's fighting off Ali. It looked good, mm-hmm. and it looked fun. And in my notes, I had written down, scissor me timbers, Ali.
Honestly, this was a good match. I liked like you said, there was a lot of corner work, and not too many people do it besides the shoulder into the corner or the up and over. Maybe if you're Andrade, you hit him with a tranquilo. You know what I mean? But this match was really good. Man, I've always liked Tasha Steelz, but Order 4 here in general, in totality, minus Ali, because Ali's always been fantastic. These guys, the good hands have gone from good hands to great hands, in my opinion. And I'm very happy that they've gotten some sort of character development, some sort of character work, where I'm like, you know what? You guys went from being jobbers to I'm rooting for you, God damn it. I want the best for you. I'm not saying you could beat the Hardys, but you could beat the Nemeth. You know what I mean? Like, you could beat some people up. It might be time for you guys to get your tag team push. You're old at this point. After dealing with Ali in a hostile work environment, you better do what Robert Stone did and talk to some higher-ups.
Eventually, John Skylar gets the scissors from Hotch, cuts off his hand, or cuts the rope from his hand in the corner, and then it's a regular match. That's all this is. It's just a regular match between the two. Ali eventually uses the aforementioned rope to choke Skylar and then hit the 540 for the win. But really, the post-match is where it comes through, because Hotch stops Ali from using a chair. Ali takes out Hotch, throws him into the ring, and then Tasha Steelz jumps in front of the great hands and protects them. And then we are introduced to Cedric Alexander. He confronts Mustafa Ali, something you and I had talked about. Order 4 eventually stand with Cedric Alexander, and Ali is left to leave on his own. If we're doing Ali versus Cedric Alexander at Slammiversary, that is a showcase match that I am absolutely here for. What do you think? Cedric Alexander has crossed the line, so to speak. He's working TNA. There's no official word on a contract or anything like that. He made his debut at the tapings last night, or tonight was the airing. So we don't know what the deal is with Cedric on paper. However, he is going to be working with TNA for the next little bit. What were your thoughts seeing Cedric make his TNA debut tonight?
Can't keep getting away with this, Joel. And you accurately predicted Cedric. I mean, I got it spoiled for me earlier in the week. That's fine. You know what I mean? I saw people who had enjoyed the TNA show and they were all posting pictures. Oh my God, it's Cedric. I am a Cedric Alexander fan since 205 Live and when I was dabbling in wrestling. His matches were fantastic. Again, in my mind, I wanted him to join the Hurt Syndicate and hurt people and beat up MJF, but we all can't have what we want all the time. This is fantastic. If he stays, that X Division, because he could go for the main title, sure. He could go for Macklin's title, sure. But the matches between Ali, Leon Slater, and Cedric Alexander for that X Division, boy, you want to know ball? You want to know that's going to be. So whether he stays or he doesn't, I want him to be in an X Division match at least. At least. Yeah, make Ultimate X happen for me, Cresta Star, just for me, okay? And make sure Ali, Cedric Alexander, and Leon Slater are in it, okay? I don't care who else you put in it, but I need that expeditiously.
Folks, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We're still talking about TNA wrestling because that's what we do on Thursday nights. And of course, we'll do it again at Slammiversary on July. I don't know the months anymore. July 20th, we'll be talking about Slammiversary. Get ready for that. But yeah, get in your humper chats, get in your super chats. Let's keep talking. The promo with the system. Moose kicks it off and I wasn't even paying attention to what he had to say because he wasn't looking into the camera. He was looking past the camera, like he was looking at cue cards. And that really threw me off. But effectively, he's just saying he's one of the longest reigning X Division champions. And he's going to beat Leon Slater, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if he was trying to look menacing or psychotic, but either way, it was what it was. Matt Cardona walks in. Edward Edwards stands up to him and says he wants a match against Cardona next week. Cardona's like, sure, let's do it. And him and Brian Myers have a little stare off at the end of this whole thing. Your thoughts on this, if you have any at all?
Not really. And ever since Leon Slater made fun of him later on in the show, that's all I hear Muse's voice now.
So good.
Leon Slater cooked that man. And it was, that's all I hear now when Muse talks. And I'm thinking about this promo. I'm thinking about Leon Slater going, hey, no. Yo, Leon Slater, shut up, please.
So real quick, the Hardys defeat Northern Armory. Really, this was just a reason for them to call out Leon Slater. And then Slater gets to do, first of all, gets put over by the Hardys as they're really pushing Leon Slater as like not only the third Hardy, but also as like the next coming of that style of wrestling, which is great. I'm glad that the Hardys are putting their stamp of approval. And then they give Leon the microphone, and he gets to cut his promo, effectively saying, I'm doing it for my family, I'm doing it for the fans, it's a rah-rah speech. And then he says, I'm going to go down there because Moose has a match next, I'm going to go sit in on commentary. And what I like about this is that it goes and transitions into Moose defeating Shane Sabre and Jake Painter. By the way, shout out to Shane Sabre, part of the Toronto Northern Crown Wrestling promotion that I like very much. And it gave actually commentary a chance to basically ignore the match and spend the rest of the time getting to know Leon Slater, because there are some people who just don't know his background. And the part where he says that he was 9 years old when he started and that his mom used to drive him to the matches is absolutely insane. What were you doing at 9 years old, Cresta?
Getting bullied. Next question.
But like this kid was training wrestling. Like this kid, I couldn't believe it when they said it. And listen, he's young. He's all of 20 years old. It's incredible. But the fact that they said he started at 9 is like impossible.
What can I do? That's like Billy Starks. Like Billy Starks came out the womb and was suplexed. How can I compete?
Really makes you take stock of all the failures in your life.
Damn, I didn't say all that.
Well, I did, because that's how I felt.
Honestly, like, Leon Slater from the end of that promo to the end of this second match, when he said, get it right, call me Leon Hardy. I mean, I'll just stop calling him Leon Hardy. He's a Hardy boy through and through. I want him to win so bad. Outside, like, in kayfabe, Moose, it's time. Pack it up. Get out of here, Moose. Outside of kayfabe, man, what a rub. Moose has been, he's been holding the X Division title hostage. He's the longest X Division champion, I don't think, but he's almost there.
Third longest.
What an accomplishment. And you'd be getting 2-for-1. So you'd be taking out the guy who had the longest, third longest reign, and you'd be the youngest behind Amazing Red. And Amazing Red, like, bro, that's your favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler. Like, are you kidding me? I have so many thoughts and opinions, and if TNA books Leon Slater to lose, I might have to go and talk to somebody. I don't know who. I might walk to Canada and just start yelling like a feral beast.
So, like we've discussed for months, Leon Slater is the guy being groomed for the X Division. It's been clear. Moose has very clearly been wanting to do something with Leon as well, as referenced by the Ultimate X finish, the other match that they had, the one-on-one. You mentioned Moose holding the X Division title hostage. I would disagree with that. I think that Moose has been a pretty damn serviceable X Division champion because he continues to put it up on the line. The only match that he didn't want to do was given a storyline reason, and that was Ultimate X. And that's because he was afraid of heights. And they played that into the story.
I forgot about this.
And it's a silly story, but it played into the story and it played into the Leon Slater aspect of it, where like he speared Slater before and he dropped the title. And again, the way that the match finished, I know it wasn't mm-hmm. great, and they should have done a better job with how they cut that together. But Moose was never saying, I'm not going to fight you. Moose was often a fighting champion. And I think that's worth noting because people love to immediately just kind of trample on Moose's ability when in reality, like he's willing to do a lot. And a match like this is a standout for Slater and for Moose because both men are going to go and deliver in their own respective ways. And if Moose loses, you don't frequently pin Moose. Although the last couple of them have been pinning Moose, which is weird. They've been using that as like a crux to get, or as a crutch to get a match with Moose. But regardless, you weren't pinning Moose that much. They're going to make it into a bigger deal. And on top of it, you're going to get the crowning of Leon Slater. And I think that's worth it because they're really pushing it hard. And he's a talent that you want to have around as long as you can. And whether that's championship or just pushing him into the line, like giving him the opportunities, like you can tell that there is absolutely a ton of upside with a young kid like Leon Slater, who is coming up in this business and could become a face of the franchise himself. And Moose can be the one to help him ascend further into that.
Well, let me be clear. I mean, when I say he's holding it hostage, like you can't beat him. Who beat him? The Moose? You can't. I mean, he's beat up some of my favorite people. And I'm like, I'm sick of this guy. And when you think you're going to beat me, trust the system. So I think that in this situation, same as well, how are you, Leon Slater, going to deal with Moose in the system? There's two Hardy Boys. There's a million people in the system. Well, there's not a million people in the system, but there's a lot of people in the system. You know what I mean? Including Alicia Edwards, who was like, bro, I don't care. You literally got to put me through a table, and even then, I might still get up. Like, hey, you want to know something?
Just give him the shirt. It's fine.
You're a clown.
At my best, I am. Absolutely. Main event time. Street fight. Mike Santana defeats AJ Francis. This was a match that, when it happened, I was told was an excellent match. And I would absolutely agree. If you watch just the first, you know, 5-10 minutes, you'd probably not think that. It does pick up. They start a bit slow. They go out in the crowd. They brawl. They do all that. But then AJ Francis starts bringing in the toys and then gets the big old heat sequences. And then Santana goes and hits his hope spots and starts using the toys and starts getting himself involved in the match. Eventually, they get to an attitude adjustment. They tried calling it a DVD, but it's not a DVD because he doesn't land on his shoulders. He does the AA. He drops him onto the chairs that are set up in the four facing inward. And so Francis gets that. And then does it again to the tables on the outside on the apron. And that brings out Trick and Joe Hendry. They fight on the stage. They do the Poppy Splash, which is the frog splash from the top. That's a near fall. AJ Francis does the friggin' Styles Clash. And that got such a reaction from the crowd. The crowd hated it. And I loved it. It was well executed. It was well done. And the way Santana jumps in the air when he kicks out was really good stuff. Santana grabs the glass bottle from Casey Navarro, who had set it up for AJ, hits AJ with it, spin the block, gets the win. Santana beats AJ Francis. And then after the match, he says what we all wanted to hear. I want in on the main event at Slammiversary. Make it a triple threat. Santino, you know what to do. What do you think of the street fight? What do you think of the inclusion of Santana to the main event? Because it's time.
Let me be clear here. What I'm about to say about AJ Francis is begrudgingly a compliment. This guy is under my skin. Compliments. First of all, that man came out in the Brat Summer. I know chartreuse when I see it. You listen to Charlie XCX. First of all, you popped me there, so I was already mad that I'm cheering for you, number one. AJ Francis was really kind of beating up Mike Santana for the majority of this match, and I kind of don't like that. Like, compliment. What do you mean AJ Francis is beating up Mike Santana? The same guy that we were like, can you please get fired? What is happening here? Also, one of my favorite spots is when in the beginning of the match, Mike Santana, I think, does a clothesline or a big kick to AJ Francis outside into the guardrails. This man is 9'9", and because he, too, is a professional clown, all you see is his leggies, bright green Sharpie leggies in the air. This match had no right being that good. And AJ Francis hitting a Styles Clash? How dare you, sir? I'm trying to dislike you. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? I laughed. I laughed and I said, yo, this man is the Miz and he's undefeated. He's the Miz complimentary. And I don't like the Miz derogatory. Like, I have to give flowers to AJ Francis throughout this whole match. Because there's no way, and this is coming from me who wants to, I want to hate this guy. I want to, but he's so good. He, as a fan, he's a heel, and I want to hate him, but I can't because he's funny, and he's athletic, and he's talented, and much like Don Callis, I'm always on your TV screen. You're going to hate me till you love me. Man, Santana was superb. As always, this match needed to be what it was. But AJ Francis had no right wrestling like that. And I hate it because I want to hate him. I want to hate him, but he's so good. He's so good. Ah!
You might even win the tag titles on the Slammiversary.
And honestly, let it happen. This is me. Let it happen. Casey Navarro being out there limping was also really funny. Whether that was a work or real, that was comedy. And he's another one. Like, yo, I know you're good. So you clowning? Yo, send this boy to the back.
He's perfect for that presentation. He continues to be. I guess he's going to be ready for Slammiversary. They're certainly promoting First Class as if they're both going to be good to go. And I hope it's true. They've got the time. They've got a month. So whatever it is, if the injury is legit, and I don't think there's a reason for it not to be, they're giving him plenty of time, Casey Navarro, to heal up and get ready for Slammiversary. But it's good that he came out and was part of the entire presentation because he's a big clown. He's perfect, and he's such a little dick. And yeah, he's hobbling around, but he does it. Yeah, he's fine, but he's clearly trying to, you know, get better in time. So no, I think he's, again, there's such a good team. Like they're
an
good
upper heel card, an yes. Upper heel act. And even if they won again, I wouldn't be mad. I want to be mad. Like kayfabe, I want to be mad. These guys suck. You guys are the heels. I hate you, but also damn it.
But it's perfect. Cause they don't try to be cool. They don't try to get you to like them. They do everything that they want to do. That's supposed to get heat. They do it in that classic bad guy way, and they're obnoxious and you're supposed to hate them. It's just a same thing with the system. We talked about this when people were absolutely just shitting on the system. The reality was they were getting the right amount of heat because they weren't trying to get cheered. They weren't trying to be cool. They were just a faction of bad guys who were taking over and winning championships. They were doing it right. You can argue that the story has gotten a little stale with them because they've been ongoing since the rebranding of TNA. So like there's a reason to kind of start getting a little tired of them. But again, going back to First Class, they have been really working together perfectly. Those two guys, Casey Navarro and AJ Francis.
And I think at worst, these guys are corny. At the absolute worst, these guys are corny. And at best, this is sports entertainment at its finest. Like, they've never had go away heat, just extreme corniness. And I'd rather be extremely corny looking at Ricochet and Max Caster than I'm sick of seeing these guys, you know, boo. So I give them their flowers. I give them their props. And I, again, as a fan, as someone who's supposed to dislike First Class, damn it, I want a ticket. I want to see. Damn it.
Well, that's when you might see them next is Slammiversary. We are on the road to it, and we're here every Thursday night talking about TNA Impact, and we will be back for Slammiversary's post-show. Steven Jensen, the Weekender podcast over on FightfulSelect.com, will be joining us. By the way, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 in the business. There is an elusive TNA producers list from this weekend that we are allegedly going to be releasing. And why does that matter? Who knows? Maybe you want to see who's producing matches for TNA. Maybe you just want to get the little nitty gritty information about it.
It's me. Spoiler. I'm kidding.
It's you. That's right. You went to Pittsburgh just for that. Regardless, all that and more over on FightfulSelect.com. There is that. There's going to be Night of Champions information. Tons and tons of stuff. Access to our Discord is there. You get some really great stuff. So go check that out. Before we head out, Crescent Star, what you got going on?
Guys, thank you so much for being here and on that other Rinky Dink post show. I'm kidding. I love the little guys at the AEW Collision Show. There is no AEW Collision Show this Saturday. It is going on right now. We're done before them because we finished our homework faster. I'm on the internet. All I do is yap. I love you guys. You're fantastic. Crest of Star everywhere on the internet except Twitter, where it's Cresta the Star, where unfortunately I tried to quit it, but it's like crack, and here I am, stuck again. I appreciate you. Every Wednesday I stream live on Twitch. We go over AEW Dynamite. And Thursdays I'm here with the beautiful, the illustrious, your favorite, my wrestling granddad, Joel Pearl. He looks awesome. And speaking of which, Joel Pearl, where can the people find? Yeah.
I got a $20 bill right here, huh?
Hey, 20 Canadian. Hey, that's France. Sorry. sorry.
I don't know what you were doing there. This is from my aquarium wallet. Everybody has an aquarium wallet, right? There's a reason for it, I promise. You know me. We're here every Thursday night. Like I said, I go in the weeds. It's Monday through Friday is the show. I'm on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, although I was on today as well because we just switch it up. So you know what? Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern until about 12:30, 1 o'clock, depending how we feel. We're live in the weeds. That's on our sister channel. That is on Fightful Overbooked. Go check that out. I like being there. You should all enjoy it. Plenty of times to be had. We got a lot to talk about tomorrow between this show and then Collision and MLW. And I don't even know what the thumbnail is going to be. So I'm going to go figure that out for Cresta Star. You know who she is. You know who I am. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Peace.